Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing a very interesting topic, which is multifamily property management reinvented. I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Ken G., founder and managing member of the KRI Group of Companies, and Amy Coletti, vice president of operations of KRI Properties in Florida. Welcome. I appreciate you guys joining me today. And one of you is in the cold weather in Ohio, and the other one's coming to us from sunny Florida. I wish I was in there in Florida, especially with the weather we've been having across the country in these last weeks of the winter. So I want to start out, Ken. The topic is multifamily property management reinvented. So, you know, obviously there has been, for the most part, a status quo of the way multifamily properties have been managed. But we're going to be talking about reinventing that. So first of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you see the status quo being, and then tell us what you think needs to be improved.
Sure. So first of all, thanks for having us. Sure. We really appreciate the opportunity to share our story and our thoughts on this topic, because we're pretty passionate about what we do and how we arrived at our business model, quite honestly. So very briefly, over time, we've been in this business for 23 years, and when you're in this multifamily industry, you have to be really good at executing your business plans. So what we've done over the years is really taken a hard look and a deep dive into each and every component of how we manage properties, and just really ask ourselves, is this the right way to do this? Is there a better way? And we've drawn on some different experiences from different industries and sort of merge those all into what we're going to talk about today. So maybe I'll let Amy step in and chat for just a minute about what a traditional property manager's life is like, because I think it's important for everybody to understand how we recognize the traditional model, or how we understand the traditional model, and that way we can sort of pick that apart and take it to the next level. So Amy, go right ahead.
Sure. Well, traditionally, the property, you know, manager's daily life tasks would be a multiple of items. They have the critical tasks that, you know, they must be done well to make the property successful, typically three buckets. Then we have the administrative tasks. These are tasks that are deadline-driven. And then we have our accounting-related tasks, and all these tasks are deadline-driven as well. And, you know, what we find is that many of these tasks and duties that the property manager is required to do on site, the deadline-driven tasks are the tasks that they mostly will focus on. So when we really should be focusing on marketing and leasing and occupancy, you find that our property managers typically will focus only on those deadline-driven tasks, which would, you know, be invoicing, month-end accounting, reports, and they find themselves, you know, kind of huddled into an office, and that's all they're focusing on, because they know they've got to get these things done, because there are due dates each month that have to be done. Well, when that is happening, unfortunately, it is taking their mindset away from what really matters, and what really matters is the occupancy of the property, the residents, be attentive to their needs, and the property as well, the way the property looks, and marketing. So we find that, you know, when you take those deadline-driven tasks away from them, they now can relax and can focus and be a part of the community more with being out there on their properties with their residents, and basically being able to have their eyes wide open to see what needs to be focused on and not have to feel like I have to shut myself down for a day just to get these deadline-driven tasks completed in order to hit my deadlines every month.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, you know, since, you know, you have a long history in operations and property management, what do you find as far as the skill sets typically of a property manager? Are they these deadline-driven tasks that you're talking about, the reports and so forth? That may not necessarily be a great skill set of that person. They may be much better at resident interaction and getting the property leased and getting renewals and things like that done. What do you find as far as skill sets and how do you recognize that?
Mark, it's interesting Well, go ahead, Amy.
No, I was going to say, traditionally what I see and in the industry is the financial aspect of it, the accounting part of it. They just don't have that mindset to look at those financials and understand how to explain them. That's typically what I see.
Yeah, what's interesting, Mark, your question is a really good one, because when you think about the goal for the property manager, in the property management world, occupancy is number one, right? Do we agree? Most of our clients, most of our owners, most of our investors, if our property is full, they're happy. I always tell our folks, I've never had a client be upset with me for having a full building. It's just never happened, right? We may have room for rents, but if we're full, they're very, very happy. So the number one goal for that property manager or the person sitting in that desk or the group of people that are in that charged with that responsibility is to make that happen. So like Amy was talking about, there's three buckets of tasks that they have to do. Only one of those buckets has anything to do with increasing occupancy. So now when you look to so think about the type of people that we need under the traditional model to be successful. We have to find someone who doesn't want to sit behind the desk. They want to go out. They want to sell. They want to talk to their residents. They want to talk to prospects and manage the people and do all of those things. But under the traditional model, we also need them to be good administrators. We also need them to be able to do the renewals and do their paperwork and do all their reports. And then if that isn't enough, we need that person to also be a good bookkeeper, right? To open the mail, take the invoices, make sure they're okay, scan them, get them into the system, do the GL coding. Well, now think about those three different skill sets that we are trying to find in one person. And what we find is it's extraordinarily difficult to find those three skill sets in one individual. It just is. So what usually happens is traditionally, because everybody notices if you don't get something done by a deadline, everybody notices if your invoices don't get paid, what the industry has tended to do is to put the administrative skills and the accounting skills slightly above the critical skills when they're recruiting people. And that is the exact opposite of what you want sitting at the chair, right? Those two things, although they keep everybody happy internally, the reports are on time, the bills are paid on time, so on and so forth, that doesn't fill your property. So the industry actually starts to be focused on recruiting people with the skill sets that don't necessarily favor what's necessary to make your property 100% full. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Excuse me. And we've got a couple of minutes left in this segment. And I just wanted to ask the question, you know, when you're talking about those three buckets, which you've identified as critical type tasks, administrative tasks, and accounting related tasks, the critical tasks are the ones that you're saying you believe are the most important. So let's talk about, just in the next minute and a half, what those tasks are. Let's identify some of them. We can cover more in the next segment. But what are some of those critical tasks that you think are important?
Sure. Amy, you wanna dive into that?
Sure. Well, obviously, the leasing, that is definitely a critical task, because that's going to get your occupancy where it needs to be. And marketing, those go hand in hand. You've got to market, you've got to pull the people in, the prospects in, and get them, you know, interested in the community, and then get the units leased. Delinquencies, that is, that, I mean, in these times now, it's very, in, you know, very important right now with the delinquent rent collections and, you know, making sure the income. So with the occupancy and the, you know, rents coming in, to me, those are, you know, your top two critical tasks. But then you, you know, you've got your residents as well, you know, communicating with your residents and your work orders and being on site to see what's going on out there as well with your residents. So, you know, resident retention, you know, has to go a long way as well.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and break it here and come back with our next segment right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing a very interesting topic, which is multifamily property management reinvented. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Ken G., founder and managing member of the KRI Group of Companies, and Amy Coletti, vice president of operations of KRI Properties in Florida. Before we get back into the conversation, I'd like to let our listeners know that if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Ken, Amy started talking a little bit before we ended the last segment about some of the critical tasks that you guys have identified as a property manager would be responsible for on a property. Critical tasks being the most important tasks as far as what makes the property successful. But there's also two other buckets that you had mentioned of tasks that they are responsible for: administrative tasks, which are deadline driven, and then the accounting related tasks that are needed on a property. And that's for the way traditional property management has been done, or what I call status quo. So let's go over some more of those items that you think are critical tasks, and our listeners can kind of think a little bit about what they do on their properties or what their employees are doing on their properties and kind of get in sync with what we're talking about.
Absolutely. So the bucket of critical tasks is so deep. It really is a lot of work just for one individual. So to continue on with some of the thoughts on what we consider to be critical tasks, Amy touched on leasing. Always leasing is number one. Collections of rents, that's always number two, because if you don't have cash, you can't pay the bills, and if you don't have a full building, your profitability deteriorates pretty quickly. And a lot of these other things really relate to customer service-related things, right? Coordinating work orders with with our residents, walking the property, just making sure that you're walking around and you're going to that far corner, that top of that third floor unit hallway, just to make sure that everything looks good, right? That's really important, because if the manager's not doing it, probably no one is. Of course, you have to manage the on-site team. I mean, that's a challenge in and of itself, because you've got so many different personalities, different skill sets that you're trying to bring together, especially on larger properties. Managing the unit turn process. I mean, you have to be efficient in this business at turning units, and you can't simply outsource it all to contractors. So that means that our property managers have to be involved, along with their maintenance folks, with managing these turns and getting it done efficiently without overspending. That's critical. They're also responsible for managing costs and sticking to a budget. Think about that for a minute. If they're not managing the costs, probably no one else is. That's why it's got to fall in their lap. They usually manage all the vendor relationships, making sure that the vendors do a good job. And then they're usually in charge of just, communicating with the residents on a regular basis on whatever it might be, whatever special there might be, whatever referrals there might be, whatever special events are going on site. All of these things are important for the manager to do. And finally, I would probably wrap that up by saying, you know, most properties that do the on-site screening process, they use a system that is data-driven and usually returns a decision to the property manager as to whether a resident or a prospective resident is approved. But we do also ask them to take a real look at this and see if the system shouldn't be revisited and maybe shouldn't be overridden because maybe of a flaw in the system or something like that. So we really do ask a lot of different things from the property manager. In our world, we put a focus on the very first few, which is leasing and collecting rents, and of course customer service, all aspects of the customer service.
All right, and we've been. Go ahead.
I was going to say, as you can see, just that bucket of critical tasks is really very it's voluminous.
Sure.
It's a very large number of things, a wide range of responsibilities that we place on these folks.
And we identified in the first segment that the administrative tasks that are in a traditional property management situation are required of the on-site manager are really the default. That's where they spend most of their time because they're deadline driven. Once again, let's list those tasks that are deadline driven that you see them happening.
Sure. So in the traditional model, the status quo, as you call it, most managers are in charge of preparing all their leases, their lease renewals, making sure they're out on time. They have to, in our world, we ask our managers to walk their renewals and visit with the residents. So that's part of the administrative task. Following up with vendors if bills aren't received. I mean, if you think about it, vendors aren't always the best bookkeepers. They're not always the best billers. We wish, most people would think that if a vendor did work at your property, of course you're going to get the bill, but you'd be surprised how many times you don't. So the managers have to chase this down and figure out where it is, because otherwise the vendor ends up not getting paid and they don't understand why you're not paying them when you never even got the bill. A lot of times managers are in charge of posting the rent payments. Now, this is actually starting to subside with the pandemic. Most properties have gone to a more digital online payment system, which has alleviated some of this. But there are still folks that want to show up at your office and pay on site because that's what they've done for the last 30 years of their life. They're also charged with the responsibility of managing utilities and making sure that there aren't any errors. For example, a resident didn't put their electricity in their name. So who has to deal with that? Well, the property manager has to deal with that, right? That's very, very time-consuming, and the property, it usually falls on the property manager's lap to do that. And then lastly, we need our property managers to be pretty good writers and communicators. They just need to be, because they're constantly interacting with people. And who else is going to write the noise complaints or, the litter complaints or things like that, noise letters that need to be distributed to the residents to deal with whatever issue might be, as well as just regular email correspondence. So the administrative tasks, although not as voluminous as the critical tasks, but they tend to take a lot of time because it's just very labor-intensive to get those done.
All right, and then the third bucket is the accounting-related tasks, and they're also deadline-driven as well. So what are those?
Yeah, Lamy, I'll let you speak to those because I know you enjoy them so much.
Yeah, they're my favorite. Well, the accounting-related tasks would be those tasks where your invoices would be coming into your office, and, you know, your responsibility would be to, you know, open all the invoices, verify that, obviously, the bill that you're getting is correct and accurate, and then the, you know, coding them out with the general ledger code so it hits appropriately on the financials and entering them all into the system. But then on top of that as well, you know, depending on what the protocol would be, typically it's to scan them into a system and have them, you know, sent upwards for the checks to be cut in an accounting department, and or, you know, sometimes they get mailed into a corporate office as well for the accountants to receive on their end in order for them to pay the bills.
All right. That kind of tells what you have identified as the three buckets, what's included in each of those three buckets. Now, here's the big question, Ken, and we've got about 2.5 minutes left in this segment, and we're going to talk about this more in the third segment. But it just, I would ask you the question in this way, but I don't think it's a good way to ask it. But that would be, what's wrong with this traditional model? Because there's a lot of people out there that are doing this, and I don't want them to think they're wrong. But what is it about this model that you think needs to be improved?
Sure. So you're right. That is a tough way to ask that question. but what I think is important, if you look at that question a little differently, and if you think about the things I'm about to say, they're not necessarily wrong with the model. But if you take a minute and think about these things, I think most people would say you're right. That doesn't make sense. We could be doing it better. We certainly could. Now, I will tell you that historically, a lot of the reasons this is structured the way it is because of the differentiation between property management company expenses and property expenses. Historically, the traditional model pushes as much of that expense down onto the property as possible so that it manages the profitability of the management company. That's probably where this structure originated. I don't know because I wasn't around back then. Probably 30 or 40 years ago is when this started. So that's why it is the way it is, or at least that's my belief. So let's talk about what could be improved with that model. So when I think about the type of person that sits in that chair, I think that everybody shows up every day to work and they want to be successful. They want to leave work at the end of the day feeling good about themselves, what they've done, they've made a difference, and they feel good about their job and their career. I submit to you that asking one person to do all of these things is just too much work. It's just too much. And I believe, and we have found, that people oftentimes, when they're put in situations where they know there's no chance of real success because there's just so much for them to do, they tend to get frustrated. They tend to get unmotivated. And they sort of throw in the towel. And this industry, I think, has gone through a lot of really good people because of that problem. Because, again, I go back to my firm belief that I think everybody goes to work every day with the objective of being successful, and they want to feel good about what they do. And we're putting them in a situation where it's just physically impossible to do all that work.
Now, Ken, we're gonna break here because that was a great ending. Because we're gonna talk more about what can be done to improve the situation and what you've been doing in these last two segments. We're gonna break it here for these messages. We'll be back with our next segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing a very interesting topic, which is multifamily management, property management reinvented. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Ken G., founder and managing member of the KRI Group of Companies, and Amy Coletti, vice president of operations of KRI Properties in Florida. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Ken and Amy, at the end of our previous segment, Ken, you were talking about what's wrong with the traditional model of property managers, the way it's been happening, and the one thing you covered before we had to go to break was that it's really too much work for one person as far as a property manager. All the things we've previously listed out in the three different buckets. So continue on. What else is wrong with the model?
Sure, you bet. So, secondly, when you think about asking a property manager who's probably pretty well paid in order to do their job, you're asking a property manager to do administrative tasks and bookkeeping tasks that you could probably get done for a lot less money if you really think about it, right? Property managers aren't cheap. I think you can get administrative work done a lot cheaper and bookkeeping work done a lot cheaper. So we think, we know that you can get this work done for a lot less, and that really impacts your NOI, and that's important to everybody, of course, listening. The next thing I would add is that it's really hard to find good people who are good at all these things. When you think about it, I don't know too many people who are good salespeople and good people persons, but they're also good administratively, and they're also excellent bookkeepers. If you think about that, those three skill sets or those groups of skill sets usually don't exist in one person. It just doesn't. So it makes it the recruiting process pretty hard because you're really trying to find a needle in a haystack when you add all these things together. And then finally, the focus ends up being on the wrong task. So as I think we've alluded to previously, all the critical tasks, the things that are important for the property's success, actually end up being in second place. So if you think about this, and this is where the real rubber meets the road in our business model, when you show up for work every day, if you're a typical person, you have to think about what will you prioritize for that day. And if I have deadlines for certain things that have to be done, I guarantee you those things are going to rise to the top of my to-do list. And the reason they are is because I don't want to miss my deadlines. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want people to know that I'm not performing up to standards. So what ends up happening is a lot of these critical tasks, right, there's no deadline on me going out and meeting the resident outside and talking with them and doing all of this or most of the critical things. There's no deadline there. So because of that, if you just think about the way a typical person approaches their workday, the critical tasks automatically get pushed down below the deadline-driven tasks, which is exactly the opposite of what you want. So we find that to be really at the base of what we think could be done better in this process. It just could. So the last thing I would say, we want to be able to leverage the strengths of our property managers. When we look at what type of person we know can really make that property successful and take it to the next level, the number one skill that we focus on is a sales-type skill. They're the face of the property. They have to have that salesman-type skill set, and we want that person to be sitting in that chair, and we want to leverage those tasks. So we're not able to do that with the traditional business model because we have to place so much emphasis on the administrative skills and the bookkeeping-related skills that are required to be in that position. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I want to ask Amy, you know, based on your experience in the industry, when you find somebody who's a people person and is great at selling and getting the leases and interacting with your residents and so forth in the way that you want them, focusing on filling the property, when they are forced to do these other tasks, the deadline-driven tasks, the accounting, the administrative type of things, how does that affect their morale?
It puts a lot of stress on them because they know that if they do not get something done by the deadline date, then, you know, it reflects badly on them and that they're just falling behind. And when we're looking to recruit and, you know, I'm having these conversations with property managers and letting them know the processes of how we do things, their faces, they look at me like they can't believe that they're not going to have to do invoicing and they're not going to have to do these other, you know, deadline-driven tasks, that it's almost like they become relaxed. And I've had quite a few people actually say, sign me up. I'm in.
Yeah.
it's been crazy.
Yeah. And Ken, on a traditional small-sized property, you know, you would have – at minimum, a property manager and a leasing person, potentially, and a maintenance person, and you know, maybe a porter or someone like that. You know, you can't spread those tasks out over a staff that's, you know, that doesn't have additional places to do that. What have you found?
Well, you're exactly right. There's no one to delegate them to on site,
mm-hmm.
Because maybe your staff isn't large enough. But I would submit to you that even on larger properties, when you push those administrative tasks and these bookkeeping tasks, even if you had a larger staff, say you had a manager, an assistant manager, right, what typically happens is the assistant manager gets stuck with all the administrative work and the bookkeeping type work. But what if that person's time was refocused on doing things that supported making the property successful? You see, we like to align everybody with the same objective, and that is full occupancy, happy residents, because when we do that, we're able to meet our clients' objectives and our own objectives when we own the asset, and that is to improve the experience, raise rents, become more profitable. Why wouldn't we want the entire staff focused on that exact same thing? So the model holds true on large properties as well as small properties, but on the smaller properties like you described, you're right. There is nowhere for that property manager to push that work to, so they really have a very difficult time being successful.
Yeah, you know, that definitely makes sense. So I'm going to ask you a question. We've got only about 2 minutes left in this segment before we go to our final segment, and we're going to talk in depth about what you need, you know, what you're doing differently and so forth. But my question to you, Ken, is, you know, you started out, you said 23 years ago in property management. I'm guessing you didn't come in with this business model, that you probably started out doing what everybody else was doing. And if that's the case, did you just all of a sudden have an epiphany? How did it work out? How did you discover this?
That's a really good question. So you're right. When you're new in the business, you're going to learn from others, and you're going to duplicate their systems, their processes, and the way they do business because, well, you're new in the business, so you want to understand how it's supposed to be done. In our case, it was more of an evolution over, 20 years where I would find problems. We would find inefficiencies. We would find people not able to meet their objectives. We would have trouble with retention. We would have difficulties with various things. And when you really drill down as a business owner and say, okay, why is this happening? How can I make it better? What this did is it turned into an evolution over time. And so the model, I mean, it still continues to evolve even as we speak. But, I would say over the 20 years it evolved. And, we're still fine-tuning it. There's no question about that because there's always new ways to become better. But we feel like that we're getting to a place where we can deliver much better a property management model than the traditional model. And I think our clients are thrilled because of it, because their properties are more successful.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I want to talk a little bit in this next segment, our final segment, about, the kind of results someone can see from doing this. We'll go into more in specifics about what your business model is and what kind of results you've seen from that as far as, how you set it up and what you can expect to see. Hopefully adding to the NOI of a property. But we're gonna take a break right here. We're going to be back after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing a very interesting topic, which is multifamily property management reinvented. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Ken G., founder and managing member of the KRI Group of Companies, and Amy Coletti, vice president of operations of KRI Properties in Florida. Before we jump back into the conversation, I just want to let any of our supplier partner listeners know that if you would like to become a sponsor of Multifamily Matters, we have some exclusive sponsorships that are available. You feel free to reach out to us through our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Ken, in the first three segments, we talked about the traditional business model of multifamily property management. that there are some opportunities to improve. You have, through your company, over a period of time, have identified what those are and created a different type of business model for KRI. Why don't you tell us what is different about your business model?
Sure. So our business model, as we've been very careful through this process here to talk about what we didn't want our property managers to spend a lot of time on. So what we've done, our business model really takes those things and takes them away from the property managers. So, for example, let's tackle the accounting and bookkeeping related tasks. I can't pull the property managers completely out of the process because they need to approve invoices, but now we outsource all of our invoices to a third party. So all our invoices, none of our invoices go to the properties anymore. They don't have to deal with finding them, opening them, scanning them, coding them. They have none of that. All they have to do is take a look at the invoice, agree that the person did in fact do the work, the pricing seems reasonable based on what their expectation was, click a button, and they've approved the invoice for payment, and then our back office continues to take over. So what was a pretty stressful process for them is no longer in their lap. So that's the first thing that we do, and that saves property managers an enormous amount of stress and time. The second thing we do is, and I really took this from other professional service models, most professional service companies have administrative support for their teams that are out in the field doing whatever it is that they do. Well, we took that and applied that to the property management model, which is very unusual for this business. If someone needs help getting their lease renewals done, their leases, noise letters, anything that takes administrative skills, we have an entire back office that they can get help from, depending on the property manager and what their needs are as to what extent that occurs. So nobody generally gets that kind of administrative support from their back office, relieving the property manager of a lot of these things. And lease renewals and some of these things can be very, very time-consuming. So what we do is we say, wait a minute, remember I talked about too many things for this one person to do or small team to do. We take two of the very time-consuming, non-critical tasks, and we either take them away from them, or we give them assistance as they deem necessary, right? Because some property managers want to do more or less. We leave it to them. We don't dictate that. But what it does is it frees up an enormous amount of time for them to focus on the important things, the things that make the property successful. And so when we do that, we're able to align everybody's focus on what matters, and that is, like we talked about before, occupancy and collections. They're able to focus on actually managing the property as opposed to dealing with all the administrative side.
Yeah. And I know that one of your things in the business model is to try and attract the best people. You'd mentioned that to me before. And Amy, I want to ask you this question. Obviously, if you're taking away a lot of these tasks that a lot of people dread doing because they'd much rather be dealing with the things that they're really good at, if they're a people person, talking to residents, marketing and leasing and so forth, it shouldn't be hard to find great people to come to work for you. What have you found?
You're correct. I have found in doing the interviews with our, potential new candidates, when you start talking to them and asking them, what is your normal life in the property manager role, and they start itemizing all the things that, I've done this, I used to do this, da-da-da-da. And then when I actually let them know how our business model is and how they won't no longer be doing these tasks that require them to spend a lot of time on, they kind of look at me in disbelief, and they're like, well, wait, what do you mean? I'm not going to do this or that. And I always let them know, of course you're going to be a part of it, absolutely, but our plan is to take these tasks away from you so you can focus on the other things that really matter most. I can't tell you how many candidates that have quickly said, sign me up. I'm in. I'm ready. When do you want me to start? It's kind of like they don't believe what I'm saying to them.
So, and I can see where that would be the case. And Ken, we've got about 4 minutes left before I want to transition to something else. But tell us a little bit about how your business model works to increase occupancy and increase rents and also reduce operating costs.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what matters to our clients and to the owners of these properties, is that we run them in an efficient manner. So a couple of things. First of all, by putting the right tasks in with the right people and at the right costs, we're able to reduce our on-site staffing costs. That's the first thing that's really important. Secondly, if you show me a property that's underperforming, I always start with the property manager position and say, okay, what's going on here? What is there a change that needs to be done? Is there some way we can make this person more successful? Well, our system attracts generally the best people, right? Because now they know they can come to work every day and make a real difference and actually be successful and go home at night proud of what they've done. So when we have the best people sitting in the chair with the right skill set and we've reduced the staffing costs, it automatically translates to increased occupancy because now they can focus on it. When your occupancy is high, you're in a very, very strong position. You're able to increase rents. You'll be able to deal with renewals differently. You'll be able to deal with delinquencies differently. And it automatically reduces your operating costs when you're full. So in this business, it starts from the top down. If you're full and you're well occupied, everything else falls in line. Like I said, you can increase rents, you can do better with renewals, and your maintenance people are not running around trying to just turn units as fast as possible, but they can actually do some proactive work and save your client or your owner money because they have time to focus on things before they break rather than just trying to be reactive all of the time. So when you think about it, it just flows down through the process, and it all starts with occupancy and trying to put our people in the best position possible to make sure that they can focus on occupancy and moving rents in the right direction.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so have you worked all the bugs out of the business model, you feel?
Yeah, well, I would say the major bugs we have, sure. Like I said earlier, we're constantly fine-tuning this process because, I mean, you know, we would be arrogant to think that we can't make our system better. We're constantly evaluating it. I spend a lot of time doing that every day, looking at everything that we're doing. If something didn't go quite the way we want, we look at it and say, okay, what happened? Why did it happen? Can we make it better? And then we fine-tune the business model to make it better. But, you know, I think generally the process works. We've proven it now for many, many years. And, you know, I think our people are much happier as a result of it, and so are our clients.
Great. That's wonderful. Well, we could talk about this for another segment, but I want to transition into something. I always ask our guests, how'd you get started in the business? And then, of course, I'd like for you to talk a little bit about your business, Ken, and how people can reach you, and if there's something that you're looking for, that you need, let our listeners know. But let's start with Amy. Amy, how did you get in the business?
I actually was working in the hotel, restaurant, hospitality industry, and I used to have a lunch group that we used to come in, and they were from the local apartment community up the street. And one day they just, you know, the manager said to me, have you ever thought about leasing apartments? And I just thought, no, what is that? You know, I didn't really pay attention. And when she started telling me the things that, you know, I would be doing, I was very very interested. And I shifted careers. I went and I started as a leasing consultant and loved it. Loved to be able to help people, loved to be able to help them find their new home. And everything about it was just so, I don't know, fulfilling, I should say, much more, you know, than I had thought it was going to be. And that was back in 94. And I've just worked my way through the trenches, and, you know, and it's just been a part of my life. It's once you're in, and you love it, you love it.
It's a very common story that someone was recruited out of doing something completely different and started out in leasing. So, Ken, you've got a little bit different story. I know a little bit about your backstory. Tell our listeners about that. We've got about 2 minutes left.
Sure. So I'll try to be brief. I grew up in Toledo, came to Cleveland in the early 90s, was at that time a commercial lender, then transitioned to be a CPA with one of the large firms in town, and started, I bought my first apartment complex in Cleveland, small 28-unit building, and that sort of started it all. For many years, I just bought from my own account and didn't do third-party management until in the 2000s, I got drug kicking and screaming by many of the folks that had invested in Cleveland. Ken, you got to do this. And so we finally threw our hat in the ring. And about 10 or 15 years ago, we started looking in Florida. And then in May of 18, we opened our doors for, well, I recruited Amy and a number of other folks, and we opened our doors officially for third-party management in Central and Northern Florida after having done it for many, many years in Cleveland. Our senior management team currently has managed about 15,000 units throughout Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. So we've got a huge amount of experience. And of course, we continue to buy properties. We syndicate deals, and we're also currently raising our first private equity multifamily real estate fund for investors to invest. So we've got a pool of about 60 investors that have worked with us in the past and generally continue to reinvest with us, and we're currently adding new investors to that process now.
Well, and if somebody wanted to reach out to you, how could they do that?
Yep. So the best way, go to our website, kriproperties.com. You can read a lot about what we do, how we do it. You can email me directly at kgee@kriproperties.com. You can email Amy the same way at acoletti, C-O-L-E-T-T-I. Or either of us, you can look us up on LinkedIn and shoot us a direct message. We'll be happy to get right back to you and talk about your property and how we might be able to make it more successful.
Well, fantastic. This has been a great topic. Also for our listeners, I will put on our website on this episode page KRI's logo, and if you click on that, it'll take you to their website to find out more information as well. But Ken and Amy, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great, and look forward to having you back on again soon.
Thanks for having us.
Well, we're going to be back next week with another power panel of industry experts talking about another great industry topic. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.